Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, 8th Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey reflects on issues and events facing Catholics and people of all faiths.
Good morning, South Texas, and welcome to Our Shepherd's View. I'm Barbara Little here with Bishop Michael Mulvey on this 16th Sunday in Ordinary Time. Today we'll be reflecting on the Gospel from St. Matthew and talk about parables of the kingdom. Please stay with us and we'll be right back.
Catholic Engaged Encounter Weekends are an opportunity for couples preparing for marriage and couples married civilly for less than a year and seeking convalidation to concentrate exclusively on one another, free of tensions, pressures, and the distractions of daily life. These weekends give couples an opportunity to talk honestly and extensively about their future together, to explore weaknesses, strengths, desires, ambitions, goals, education, money, children, relationships with God, and so much more. Married couples and a priest will present a series of ideas to be explored. Mass and confession are available as well. The next Engaged Encounter Weekend is set for August 16th and 17th. For complete details, call the Diocese Office of Family Life, 882-6191, or visit diocesecc.org/family-life. A wedding is one day. A marriage is a lifetime.
Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. Good morning, Bishop. How are you this morning?
Good morning, Barbara. I'm well, and I hope everyone else out there is doing fine in this hot summer.
I know. We're right in the midst of it.
Yes, we are.
Definitely are. But it's a glorious Sunday, and we have a wonderful gospel to hear. So our gospel this morning is from St. Matthew, so let's prepare our hearts and our minds to hear his word.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus proposed another parable to the crowds, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be likened to a man who sowed good seed in his field. While everyone was asleep, his enemy came and sowed weeds all through the wheat and then went off. When the crop grew and bore fruit, the weeds appeared as well. The slaves of the householder came to him and said, 'Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? Where have the weeds come from?' He answered, 'An enemy has done this.' His slaves said to him, 'Do you want us to go and pull them up?' He replied, 'No. If you pull up the weeds, you might uproot the wheat along with them. Let them grow together until harvest. Then, at harvest time, I will say to the harvesters, First collect the weeds and tie them in bundles for burning, but gather the wheat into my barn.' He proposed another parable to them. 'The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that a person took and sowed in a field. It is the smallest of all the seeds. Yet, when full grown, it is the largest of plants. It becomes a large bush, and the birds of the sky come and dwell in its branches.' He spoke to them another parable. 'The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed with 3 measures of wheat flour until the whole batch was leavened.' All these things Jesus spoke to the crowds in parables. He spoke to them only in parables to fulfill what had been said through the prophet, 'I will open my mouth in parables. I will announce what has lain hidden from the foundation of the world.' Then, dismissing the crowds, he went into the house. His disciples approached him and said, 'Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field.' He said to them, 'He who sows good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed is the children of the kingdom. The weeds are the children of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels. Just as weeds are collected and burned up with fire, so will it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will collect out of his kingdom all who cause others to sin and all evildoers. They will throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be wailing and grinding of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Whoever has ears ought to hear. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Well, like the gospel from last week, this gospel continues Jesus' teaching through parables about the kingdom of God. You know, they're all beautiful. Right. We have three of them here, so do we want to discuss each one of them individually?
Sure, because, you know, they all have certain lessons for all of us. Of course, the parables, because they are parables, we have to stop and take time with them and, as we would say, I guess, in popular language, unpack them of what's really being said here by Jesus. One thing I think is interesting at on the first one, with the weeds that grow among the wheat, it's a particular weed, and it's called tares. It was kind of a bearded or a weed with a head on it, like the wheat.
Like, so kind of like a dandelion type?
Well, I've never seen one myself. I was just only using the descriptions, but it looked like wheat. Mm-hmm. And that's the issue here, that it
all
looked
right.
very similar. And so it was slightly poisonous. And it was bitter. So it caused also, it's interesting, it caused dizziness and even a narcotic effect to people. So it was a concern, you know, to get these weeds out. However, the harvest master was saying, if you pull those up, you may mistake the wheat for that or that for the wheat. And so that is why he said to let them grow together, because all of us in our human logic and the way we look at crops today would say, well, it's obvious to distinguish weed from wheat. But in this case, it was not.
Well, then it wasn't a dandelion, because that looks very different than
right.
wheat.
That's right. So it's very different, but it's very similar to the wheat. So that's why is let them grow together. And I think one theme that will come through this whole thing is by their fruit you will know them. And obviously at the end they would be able to tell which was and which wasn't wheat, so they could distinguish them then. But I think if we were to look at, well, what does this mean for us, you know, as Christians and people who try to live in the world today amidst many difficulties, and there are many difficulties, but, you know, I think it says to us, number one, that the world is full of good and the world is full of evil. You know, even in ourselves, there is that struggle that goes on. And that we have to be on guard, that if we really want to live, which I hope we all do, want to live our life differently, with direction, with meaning, to live our life for Christ, then it there's a cost. I mean, we just can't go through life without some vigilance about what is good and what is evil. Evil, of course, is easily distinguished in our life, but also good can be distinguished. And I get a little concerned today, I think, when I hear people always talking about evil, evil, evil. Yes, but it's also good, good, good. Look at the good. Look for the good.
Don't always focus on the negative.
Right. And sometimes we do that, and therefore we drag ourselves down and everyone else. There is evil in the world, and we should never deny that. And there is sin in the world. There's sin present even in our lives. But there's also the wheat. There's also the good. And so we need to be aware of both and to really rejoice in the good, as well as being aware of the sinfulness in our lives and in the life in our world. But the other thing I think that's here is we need to avoid quick judgment. We normally, it looks good, eat it, you know, that kind of thing. And then you see the results later. Or you buy something because it looked good, and then you find out it's a piece of cheap junk, you know, that falls apart the next day. We're too quick. And I think one thing that Jesus is saying here when he's talking about the wheat and the tares, the weeds, let them grow together. You got to test things. You got to make sure that what is good is what appears to be good really is good. Or what may appear good may end up being evil. There's the whole idea of, you know, the wolf in sheep's clothing. We have to be very careful. But also we need to not give up on others, because we do see maybe in others, people we work with, family members, perhaps things that we know are morally wrong, that are not good for them, and we give up too easily by our own judgments of them and alienating them. We have a responsibility there too, and so I think this patience that Jesus shows in the parable of letting the two grow together is saying to us, don't give up on others, and there's many lives of the saints which would prove that to us. The final thing, I think, or one of the final things, is that God is the judge, and the judgment has to wait till the end. Again, by their fruits you will know them. It's not that we tolerate or we put up with evil. Certainly evil needs to be called what it is. Sin needs to be called what it is, and this is one of our problems in the Christian lives. We don't recognize sin, and there's the lack of vigilance again. There is sin. So we have to recognize
it. Call it what it is.
Call it what it is. But also the final judgment, the, you know, it's not over till it's over. And we can see that in the Gospels when Jesus tells the parable of the workers who were sent into the field. They were all paid the same thing, even the guy that went the last. So, again, it's a note of patience. God's grace in people's lives is not over till it's till the last moment. So we need to do our part in assisting. So I think that first part of the kingdom, if we're going to live our Christian life, and of course all this is about how we live our Christian life, it's we're in the world, but we're not of it. We need to be vigilant. It's another call to vigilance. So that is that first part of this three-part parable, is that call to watch and to be vigilant. If we want to move to the second one,
we can, yes, about the mustard seed,
right.
How it starts out very small and then it grows into a big tree.
Exactly. And of course we have to, not that Jesus didn't know his nature and everything, didn't know nature, but it's not the smallest of the seeds.
Mm-hmm.
But he was using a proverb that was used customarily. Things were referred to the mustard seed. The smallest, they say, is really the cypress.
Mm-hmm.
If you've ever seen a cypress tree cone, and when the cone opens and the seeds fall out, they're very, very, very tiny. But the mustard seed was used in most proverbs, and people would refer things to that. What does this say to us about the kingdom? I think it says that things begin small. You know, in a society such as ours, we want the best, the biggest, and the bigger it is, the better it is, et cetera, et cetera. And
like immediate gratification.
I found often in parishes, you know, people want to start something in the parish, or they had an idea, or they saw something done somewhere else, they wanted to bring it to their parish, and oh my gosh, you know, it's like building a Taj Mahal by structure, but also programs, you know. We have to leave room for God's grace to work too. And so I think this parable is saying to us about this mustard seed is we need to begin small. We need to solidify an idea, test an idea, and before we move on. And so that is really, I think, something that Jesus is saying here. You know, we don't need to start off with the biggest. Let's start small, and it'll work itself into what he wants it to be.
Like building the foundation.
Correct.
All right. We are going to take a short break and continue our conversation about the parables. Please stay with us and we'll be right back.
The school was founded in 1946. Pre-K 3 through 5th grade students receive a detailed curriculum addressing the academic, spiritual, social, and physical needs of the whole child. After school care, sports and gymnastics, Title I, accelerated reading and math, fine arts, and even guitar lessons are also available. Tuition assistance is there too for those who qualify. Perhaps it's time to consider a Catholic education for your child. Where? Holy Family Catholic School. To find out more, call the school at 884-9142.
Welcome back to our Shepherd's View. Well, Bishop, before the break, we were talking about the second parable of this week's gospel, which talked about the mustard seed that grows into a tree that, and one of the analogies was that the birds love it. You know, they want to make it their home. So that's the analogy of the kingdom of God. We start out small. Right. And then it grows, and it's very welcoming.
Right. You know, I think this is just another example of how the gospel is so countercultural. I mean, we want the biggest, the best, the most immediate, as you said, the self-gratification now. And when we do that, it's like then we put ourself into it and we don't leave room for God's grace, God's inspiration, as we're doing his will, as we're looking for ways to... I was using analogies in the parishes, but I think it's so true even as a priest, as a pastor, as a bishop, you know, we all have ideas and they're great ideas and we can tire each other out with our own ideas, you know. We get so excited about things.
One thing leads to another that leads to another that leads to another.
Right, and then we impose ourselves on others and, you know, we just get, it's all about the idea. And I think the parable of the mustard seed is one which really, again, expresses God's patience with us, but also the patience that is an expression of his love. And so we need to look at, again, as I said, we may have an idea, and that needs to be expressed, and if it is God's will, we work together on it, but let's start small. There's a beautiful proverb, or a story, I guess. I read it somewhere once where there was a missionary who went to Africa and wanted to, this is in the early days, and really wanted to evangelize a people who did not know the gospel and did not know God. And the first thing was, let's send books. You know, well, first of all, I don't think they read,
right,
at least not the language of the books. But it's this idea of we want to bring the good news. We want to evangelize. So let's buy 1,000 books. And there was an African girl who said, don't send books, send a family who lives the way you would like us to live. In other words, that was the seed.
Mm-hmm.
That was the seed, and now that community has grown and has become Christian, has followed, and is educated. And so, you know, send someone who can witness to that. And I think there is a call to us that the mustard seed is the seed of our own faith. And when we want to do something for the church, for God, we think of a program, we think of, you know, big things. Well, what about us? Let's not leave ourselves out of the equation here. There's another thing I think that would be on target for this part of the parable that would be of interest. You know, looking at the church and the ills within that we are all aware of, but also the attraction of a secularized world that pulls people away from their faith, that really, in many ways, we would, if we get fanatical about it, it's destroying faith, and certainly it's destroying parts. But he was asking the question, are we shrinking? And he kind of said, let's not worry about that, because in many ways, if we are, those of us who remain faithful are called to a deeper level of faith. We're called to a deeper commitment to live our faith. I'm very impressed with the young people that are coming to us, seeking vocations. I mean, they're doing it not just because it's a cultural thing. I think many of us, myself included, kind of on the edge of this, the time, but it was something that was culturally acceptable, mm-hmm. you know, in the Catholic Church, to be a priest, to be a nun, and that's not so common anymore.
Right.
But the ones who are really coming now, the younger people, really want a committed life. They want to, I won't say they don't want to have a difficult life, but they want to have a life that's challenging. And they see, or they're moved from within, because a vocation is a call from God. They really want to make a difference. And that's a beautiful reality. And I think it's in line with this parable of the mustard seed. Let's not worry about numbers. Let's look at the quality of young people. I know just this past week we've had a couple of young men come and speak to Father Lopez about vocations. And it's just very, very gratifying. And I'll take a little time here to encourage anyone.
Well, and just a couple of weeks ago, you ordained priests,
right,
in the diocese, yeah, that are moving on to assignments,
and very
or
committed,
have moved on to assignments.
You know, very committed. So I think, you know, we've got to see what is positive, and then the gospel, and in particular this parable, always addresses what our current needs are. So I just want to bring that out. Mm-hmm. And then we can move to the last one of the three sets of parables here, and that's the kingdom of God is like yeast. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast. Again, what is a quality of yeast? It's unseen. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you've baked before. I don't bake, but I have made pizza before. And sometimes,
it's the same thing.
Sometimes the yeast works and sometimes it doesn't.
That's
sometimes
right.
It rises, sometimes it doesn't.
Sometimes it's been in the pantry too long.
Exactly. But you knead it into the flour and the water and everything, and you don't see it anymore, but it does its work. And that is a powerful, powerful image for us who may think that we are smaller in numbers, that we're insignificant as a people of faith. We can't make a difference. And that is so, so wrong. Leaven is unseen, and yet it has a power to change. I recall a number of years ago, I was in a group of people, and they started complaining about a bunch of things and even criticizing others. And it was just kind of one of these unpleasant conversations that you find yourself in every once in a while. And, you know, all these kind of images from the gospel kind of came to mind. And, you know, I think we should be self-aware. This is a present moment. This is a situation. How do I handle it? Do I join in? Because if not, they may think, well, he's better than the rest. And so, you know, you really, but this is where our faith comes to true light. What do we do? Are we yeast? And so I decided to not join in, but not to show disdain on my face or any other way about the people who are talking.
You were just listening.
I listened, and I tried to listen intently with each one, and then nobody said anything, and the night went on, and we finished, and you kind of think, well, not that I thought much about it. But the next day, one of the people at the meeting called me very unexpectedly and very unusually, but called and thanked me for being silent because it helped him to also remain a little more silent and a little less judgmental toward the people that were being talked about in the circle. And so I use that just to remind all of us, if we're really serious about living our faith, there are many, many, many ways to live it. As a mustard seed, as yeast, we don't see it happening, but we don't know the effect that we have on other people simply by being there and living our faith. This goes for a child. I mean, how many of us, I know myself, have been converted to a certain self-awareness through something a child would say and an innocence of life.
Right.
And so a child, and this is why we need to educate and to evangelize our children, keep them close to Christ, pray with them, and help that innocence of spirit to really grow and flourish. Because they, without even knowing it perhaps, they're like the mustard seed and that leaven, they affect people. Just by their innocence and simplicity of the beauty of their spiritual life. And I'd like to also say something about the elderly, the older generation, which I know I'm kind of edging into that category too. But how often I hear people say, you know, we're getting old, we don't know. You know, in God's eyes, no one's old. I mean, everyone's young in preparation for eternal life. But we can be a mustard seed. We can be leaven even at any age. I know that there's a lady that I talk to often, a member of my family, who lives in a retirement community in a nursing home. And when I talk to her, one of the things she talks about is how being there and saying something and listening to people really kind of creates, you know, an environment of probably more charity, a little more patience among people. And we cannot miss these opportunities. There's at no point in our Christian life can we ever say, I'm too old, they don't need me anymore. Absolutely not. Mm-hmm. I mean, even if our life is one of prayer, because that's all we think we can do.
Right.
And maybe that's all we can physically do. But just to know that prayer, those prayers for family, for the church, for priests, for politicians, for whoever, that's leaven in the church. That is not ignored. That is leaven. Somebody wrote me the other day and just said, we're praying for you. We got you covered in prayer.
That's wonderful.
You know, I don't see that, but I was thinking of that again this morning, that one little letter that I got. Just, you know, it's leaven in my life and leaven in the church. Mm-hmm. And so we're never too young, we're never too old to be the leaven.
That's right. And I, from a personal experience, I have, I call her my second mom. She was and she's in her 90s. And every time I go and visit her in Houston, I always learn something new.
Sure.
Because she's so deep in her faith, and she teaches me, and then I'm, you know, we're sharing so much together as adults. You know,
sure.
And it's a beautiful thing. We can learn so much.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Even a smile is a piece of leaven.
Well, it's the everyday acts of kindness.
Right.
The random acts of kindness that we talked about a couple of weeks ago. So, well, I know our session is about to end pretty soon, but this kind of leads us to a sacrament of reconciliation, which we'll talk a little bit more about next week. It's all...
Yeah, all of these things, and I think the word I would use to kind of summarize things is patience, God's patience. And if reconciliation and penance, the sacrament, is not the sacrament of patience, I don't know what it is.
Right.
That God, in his sacrament of forgiveness, is also a sacrament of God's patience with each one of us, and therefore we should be patient with ourselves and patient with one another.
So if we think that we have been the weed that looks like the wheat, there is an opportunity for us to turn into the wheat.
Absolutely.
So that's wonderful. Well, thank you, Bishop. If you could say a prayer and a blessing for us this morning.
Father, we thank you for the gift of this day, and we give you thanks for the gift of your word, who has become flesh in Jesus Christ. Bless our lives and help us to remain strong witnesses of his love and patience. And we ask this through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thank you, Bishop, and thank you for listening to us on this Sunday. Have a good rest of your weekend and a blessed week.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. If you have questions for the Bishop, write to Our Shepherd's View, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi 78407, or we invite you to email your questions and comments to osv@klux.org. Our Shepherd's View is a production of CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.